Hopewell Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Well, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I am so excited to be with you. I'm your host, Meredith Curtis, and I have three very special guests with me today. And before I get started, I just want to give a shout out to Media Angels and a big thank you for supporting our show and hosting us. We're very grateful for their support. And I want to say, first of all, welcome to my special guest,
Juliana Curtis.
I'm Josh Nolan.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm going to let each of them tell you a little bit about themselves. So, first of all, Juliana, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I graduated from high school in 2007. I was homeschooled all the way through. And then I graduated from college in 2011, and I'm now a systems analyst at Aon Hewitt. And I'm also very involved in our church, Powerline, and also with Finish Well, the conference. And so I really value the friendships that I have in my family and in my church and outside of that. And just I love seeing how God builds people up and encourages people and changes people's lives through friendship.
I'm Josh Nolet. I'm 16, and I'm homeschooled. And I'm going to try and talk about friendship in a way that's going to benefit people.
Hello, I'm Jimmy, and I'm also homeschooled. I'm 15. I'm a sophomore in high school. I like sports and Jesus. That's it.
Amen. Jimmy and Josh have been friends, I have to tell you, since they were both in diapers. So they have been friends a long time, and they're going to be talking a little bit about their friendship. Then they're also going to be talking about other friendships, of course. And, you know, lives are changed in the context of relationships, and friendship is such a blessing in our lives. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Throughout Proverbs, friendship is valued. Throughout Scripture, friendship is valued. And Abraham is called a friend of God. So we know that God places high value on friendship. And so we want to have friendships that last, not just in this life, but in the one to come. So we're going to be talking about challenges that face us as homeschoolers, in building relationships, and really just challenges that we face as Christians in building friendships. We're going to talk about friendships within our family, and we're also going to talk about building friendships with people our age, other ages, and how to avoid friendships that will cause us grief and heartache. And so we're going to be very honest here tonight, and we're hoping that the things we share will make a difference in your life. So let's get started. Juliana, what challenges face homeschoolers in making friends?
I guess sometimes they can feel, if they have public school friends, that they don't have as many friends as their public school friends, because their public school friends, you know, will talk about the hundreds of friends that they have at school. And as a homeschooler, you may only have, you know, a couple friends at church or a couple friends here. But I think that sometimes we think as homeschoolers that what the world has is better, and it's not always, or it's really not ever. And so I think sometimes we just trick ourselves into thinking that having a bunch of shallow friendships is better than surrounding ourselves with people who really love the Lord and are striving after Him and having those deep friendships. And I know when I was homeschooled, we were so busy with church and other things. And with homeschooling, we did so many things extracurricular. And so I didn't have a lot of time to, you know, just go to the mall and hang out with friends a lot and stuff like that. And so I had to really focus on what friendships I wanted to build and develop. And I couldn't just waste all of my time, you know, hanging out and, you know, having shallow friendships. And so I think as teens, though, a lot of times they think that those shallow friendships are more meaningful. But as homeschoolers, it's really interesting to learn how it's not and how, you know, the Lord will guide you to other things.
Very true, Juliana. And I know that some of you listening, you're homeschool teens and you might live on 40 acres and you're 10 miles from the nearest town and you don't have a lot of, you know, friends that you see often. But I know that where we live, there's tons of homeschool activities. So there, it just feels very, if you wanted to, homeschoolers could be every bit as busy with friends as public school kids. But Jimmy, how about you? What challenges have faced you as a young man? You've been homeschooled all your life. What challenges have you faced in friendship?
With me, I'm very shy with people, and so that can sometimes just be a barrier for me. And so I'll just not really want to talk to them or not really want to go out of my way to make new friends. And sometimes that's not very good being a Christian, because I'm supposed to go out there and make new friends and try and impact people. But mainly shyness, and I guess also meeting new people. You know, being homeschooled, I don't meet lots of them.
Very good, Jimmy. Now, tell me how you have personally worked to overcome your shyness and the uncomfortableness you feel in meeting new people, because I've seen you reach out to new people. So how have you overcome that?
By just, you know, I guess just starting with small talk in a way, even though I don't really like that, and just kind of keeping a smile on my face and just doing little things that can let the other person feel comfortable and also help me to feel comfortable. And, you know, not being afraid to maybe even embarrassing myself can do the trick too.
You know, if you're listening today and you're shy, friendliness is not a personality trait. Friendliness is actually a character trait, and the Bible commends the friendly man and calls foolish the man who is not friendly. So even if you're shy, my oldest daughter is very, very shy. Jimmy is very shy, and honestly, all of my children, none of them have been, it's never been easy when they were young to meet people and reach out to them, for any of my children. But we've taught them that the Bible commends friendliness, and so they've learned to be friendly and ask questions and say, hi, how are you? And we live in Florida, so a lot of times we can ask people, so where are you from? You know, and often people who live here are from another state. Josh, how about you? What challenges do you think face homeschoolers in building friendship?
I think the main fact is that we don't leave the house. And like Jude said, most public schoolers make their friends at school. And so to us, it seems like we never get out and things like that. But honestly, as I've been getting older, I realize like the significance of friendships that have greater meaning or they go deeper are a lot better than 300 Facebook friends or 500 Facebook friends or 1,000. I mean, it just, like, if Jimmy were my only friend in the world, and I'm not saying this to sound all mushy-gushy and, like, I'm trying to love on Jimmy. Honestly, if Jimmy were my only friend in the world, I think I would be fine with that, because I have had a lot of friends in the past when I was in the world, and it really is not as beneficial as my friendship with Jimmy.
Very good, and we're going to talk about your friendship with Jimmy a little later, but for right now, I want to focus on siblings and parents. And is it possible to be friends with your parents? Is it possible to be friends with your siblings? What are the challenges there? Let's just share some thoughts on that. Let's start with Juliana.
I am very blessed to have been born and raised in a really awesome family. But I've definitely gone through some hard times with being friends with my siblings. And I think every single one of my siblings, my older sister, my two younger sisters, and my little brother, just, you know, I had different stages with every single one of them where we weren't as close. And, you know, they irritated me or we fought all the time and stuff like that. But as I've gotten older, I've gone through every single one of those stages where now I would say that I'm close friends with all of them. And my youngest sister, Sarah Joy, who's 17 now, she and I share a room now. And so we've really built a really strong friendship, I think, over the past year and a half-ish, as we've shared a room and, you know, as we're falling asleep, just talking about things that the Lord is teaching us. And some nights we'll just stay up and pray together and stuff like that. But building friendships with your siblings and with your parents, I think, can be difficult when when you live with people, you see all of their negatives and you see all of their bad side. And so when you're only friends with people outside of your family, you can see the good part of them and you only see the negative, you know, just a little bit here and there. But when you live with people, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I think it's easier to take those people that you know the best for granted. And it's easier to get more irritated with people that you know the best because you see all of their idiosyncrasies and all the things that irritate you, you know, happen every single day. And so I think it can be hard to grow past that. But when you do, I think that those friendships can be the closest. Those friendships can have the most fruit as you build each other up in the kingdom of God because you see the negative in each other, but you can love each other through that and minister to each other through that. And, you know, my sisters and my brother know how much I love them, and so I can help them through something that they're struggling with, and they know that I'm going to love them enough to help them and to only show them something out of love and stuff. And so I think that friendships with your family can be the hardest to develop because of those obstacles, but they can also be the most rewarding.
Let's get real specific. How about, without using names, let's talk about one of your siblings that you've had challenges with, what those challenges were, and how you were able to overcome them and be close.
Well, I've had challenges with, I think, every single one of my siblings. Some of them because they're the polar opposite of me. Some of them because they're almost exactly the same as me. One of them that is almost the exact opposite of me, she, when we were younger, was a lot more emotional than I was. And so she would kind of bottle things up for a while and then all of a sudden get really upset and I would have no idea why. And I'm more like a flame torch and I get really angry and I would have this big outburst and then 2 seconds later I was totally fine. And so our temperaments played off each other really badly when we were younger and before we grew in the Lord a lot. And so it was really hard for me when we were kids for me to understand her, and I think it was hard for her to understand me. And so we had to work at our friendship, and I had to be willing to talk through things, even though I didn't like talking through things, but she would force me, and I learned to like that. I think it was, like, how we grew through that was just realizing that my way isn't the best way, and her way isn't the best way, and just realizing that it's okay for personalities to be different, and loving someone enough to want to understand how they think and how they feel and to just realize, you know, how you can work through a situation with the other person in mind instead of just yourself. And so now we're very close. And if someone doesn't understand her in a situation, most of the time I can say, oh, okay, well, this is what she's feeling and this is what she's thinking and this is why she's reacting like this. And it's because we had to work really hard at that. But it definitely did not come natural or come easy for us. But we loved each other enough to do that.
Very good. And I know who you're talking about, but I won't say. Also, I want you to be able to be real honest. I know when you become a teenager, you realize your parents aren't perfect. And, you know, I think you realize that long before you're a teenager, but somehow when you're a teenager, it really gets your goat. It really irritates you. It really frustrates you. So you can feel free to talk about me. What are some things you realized when you became a teenager that made it very hard for you to be close to me, and how did you overcome them?
No pressure.
Oh,
well, first of all, Meredith is my mom, just throwing that out there. So I guess as I became a teenager, realizing, well, when you're a kid, you realize your parent is flawed, but as you get older, I think you start seeing more specifics. And as I grew in reading the word and stuff, you see, oh, my parents don't perfectly line up with this verse or with this. And it can be hard, I guess, to grapple with as you get older. And I think some of the things that I struggled with my mom were some of the same things that I struggled with my sister. Part of her temperament is similar to mine. You know, both of us are kind of flame torches, and we would, you know, get really angry or really hurt about something, and we might say something mean to each other, but then 2 minutes later we would apologize and everything would be okay, and everyone else would just stare at us in wonderment. New word. So I think so. Some of the things with my mom is that she was very similar, like with me, like that. And so we would get into arguments, and I was very good as a teenager at provoking people. And a lot of times I thought I knew more than her. And when you're starting to see people's flaws, a lot of times it can be hard to keep respecting them. And so I didn't, when I was a teenager, I didn't work at respecting my parents a lot. And it wasn't until I was an older teenager that I started doing that. And so when you're not working at respecting your parents, it can create a lot of tension because, you know, you are just being rude whenever you feel like it and doing things that you know may not honor them. And so parents are human and they can react out of hurt. And so I think sometimes I would hurt my mom and then she would react out of hurt and then I would get angry or hurt and I would react out of that. And so it took a couple of years for us to really be able to work through that and to say, okay, you know, for me, it was always hard for me to actually acknowledge that I was hurt in a situation. And so it took me a while to be able to admit that and then to say, okay, we actually need to work through this. You know, you did this and it actually did hurt me. And so whenever I would say that, my mom would immediately apologize. You know, we would work through things. But it took me a while to actually be able to admit stuff like that because I thought it was too tough, you know, to ever be hurt. And so I think as I grew in the Lord, I realized that it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to admit things like that. And so as I grew in the Lord, I think our friendship grew a lot more. And, you know, my mom started drawing me out more and spending more time with me. And I think that's when our friendship grew a lot. And so now, you know, she's my confidant for almost everything. And no matter what happens in our friendship, I know that we'll make sure that we work through it.
Thank you for being honest. I know that was hard. And it is true that for parents, you know, you really desire in your heart that you transform the mother-daughter, the father-son, the father-daughter, the mother-son relationship into a friendship. And honestly, most people go through some growing pains with that process. And I think that faults are revealed in the parents and in the teen. So I would just encourage you, if you're listening today and you're a teen and you're really frustrated with your parents, hang in there and pray that God gives you a close relationship with them. It's definitely worth fighting for. Josh, let's hear from you. Just as candid as you can be, relationships, challenges, how you've overcome challenges and built relationships with either your siblings or with your parents.
I think one of the strongest relationships I have right now is with my sister Phoebe. And I think if we were in the middle before either of us were saved, we got on each other's nerves a lot and we did things to purposely annoy each other. And she would make mistakes and I would point them out and I would make mistakes and she would point them out. And like Jude said, we would just react out of hurt and end up just being a really big emotional mess. And in a lot of other relationships, I reacted that way, and it was just all emotion, and I got angry, and I reacted on that. I think, although me and Phoebe now are really, really close, she's like one of my best friends besides Jimmy, I think our biggest struggle right now is that because when I was little, I reacted out of anger so much when I get in an argument with Phoebe, I'm very much the facts, and I just state them as they are, and I end up having this very logical debate with my sister who is not willing to have that kind of discussion with me because I've hurt her and I'm trying to talk about it as if it's this logical debate and it's just facts and I'm acting like I'm not hurt and I'm trying to put that part of myself aside and trying to just state, you know, the way it is, and it just doesn't work because I'm ignoring Phoebe's feelings. And I think that is my main struggle with Phoebe, is that I tend to ignore her and how she feels, and I just want what I want, and I want order, and I want things to go the way I want them to go and the way I think they should go. And I tend to kind of rule out emotion in other people. And I think that that's also like a thing with me and my mom. I do that with her a lot, and I don't take into account her emotions and how she feels, and I end up being really, really sensitive, and I say things that to me seem totally logical and seem like the right thing, and I may be right, but that's not the point. And I think that at least if you're like me, then you need to just take a step back and think, well, I could be right and I could be wrong, but even if I'm right, that doesn't matter. And I just need to apologize for what I did wrong and change my heart towards the situation and bring resolve to that.
Josh, it sounds like God is preparing you for marriage to a very emotional woman. But seriously, overcoming those challenges, is it worth the hard work to build a friendship with people in your family?
I would say yes, because as I said, Phoebe and I have one of the strongest relationships I have right now, and she's just, you know, she's like my best friend, and I love her, and I love spending time with her, and, you know, she's in her senior year and dual enrolling, and she spends a lot of time over here doing school, so, I mean, I miss her a lot because she's not with me very much, and but I think that's also a sign of just what a blessing that can be. And the other thing is my friendship with my dad is right now, like, really good. And I know my dad's listening right now, so, Dad, I'm about to brag about you. When I was little, I was really, really bad at putting things away. And I would borrow my dad's tools, and I would go work on my bike outside in the backyard. And then I would get excited because I fixed my bike, and so I'd want to ride it. And I would leave his brand-new wrench or his brand-new hammer or fill in a blank of expensive tool in the yard in Florida, in the moisture, in the rain, in the elements, and destroy them. And my dad would get so frustrated because he would tell me, Josh, I need to put away my tools after you use them. And I would totally forget, and I would go ride my bike and destroy his tools. And this was just a recurring thing. Like, when I was little, I wouldn't put socks on before shoes, and I would come inside with these nasty, dirty, acorn-filled feet and shoes, and it was just gross. And so my dad would, like, inspect me before I went outside to make sure I was wearing the proper clothing to play outside. And when I was little, he did a lot of things like that to instill, like, responsibility in me, and especially, like, with the kitchen and the dishes. And when I was little, it was really irritating. And, like, the biggest thing I heard from adults was, you know, when you get older, you're going to thank your dad or you're going to thank me for doing this. And that's just, that's what adults say all the time. When I was little, I was like, okay, yes, you say that all the time. But now I'm only 16. I'm not even an adult yet. And the benefits that my dad has given me through instilling responsibility is, like, amazing. And, you know, now I'm, like, an exact replica of my dad, and I think that helps me understand things with him and him understand me. But also the fact that when we were little, we bonded over him teaching responsibility. I think now I can just bring anything to my dad, and even though some conversations can be a little uncomfortable, we can still talk to each other in a very matter-of-fact way, which is how we like to talk about it, but then we can also joke on things, too.
That's awesome. And hey, Donald, I know you're listening, too. And Timmy, you are the only brother. You have four sisters. What is it like to be the only brother with four sisters? Good, the good, the bad, the ugly. Be honest. Don't use names, though.
Wow, it's interesting. It really is. I can't say it's bad because it really is fun. And sometimes it can be very emotional in my house. And it's very hard, but at the same time, it can sometimes be funny. But, yeah, I really like it. And I'm so sorry, Mom. What was the question that you asked? Truthfully, with my oldest, it's been great because they'll, like, sometimes take me out to lunch, and that'll be a great bonding moment. And then, you know, with the younger ones, it's just, they're super nice to me, and I can't really take any credit because I've always been that obnoxious little brother, but they've pursued the relationship, and they have gotten it, and it's very nice because they're all very loving. And even the one, you know, right above me, we can sometimes get into arguments or just want to disagree with each other, but we end up walking it out and such sometimes. And it's truly amazing to have four godly sisters in my household. And I've tried to do it, and I've sometimes failed, losing my anger and such, and it's just been dumb all the way, you know, showing love and reaching out to me and such.
When Jimmy was a little boy, Shine and Jimmy are only 20 months apart, and when Jimmy was little, Shine was his second mother, and she would help him open his birthday presents, and she was constantly bossing him around, and I knew the day would come, and it's come, and Jimmy's about a head taller than her, and you know, and but one of the things that we've done in our house is we've just used our house as a training ground, because if you can build close relationships with the people in your family, you can build close relationships with anyone. And so if you're lonely, look around and start getting closer to people in your family. In our household, we have, I think, every personality. And so if you can get close to everyone else in your family, you can pretty much be close to the entire world because there's someone like someone in your family. And so I would just encourage you to start there. Now, we're going to take a commercial break, but when we get back, we are going to talk about long-term friendships, how you build them, how you keep them, and what about those pitfalls of friendship? All of that when we get back after this commercial break.
In all my years of attending Finish Well conferences, I found that it's more than just homeschooling. It's learning how to live.
Finish Well 2014, January 24th and 25th. Visit finishwellcon.com for more information. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, and welcome back to Finish Well Radio with your host, Meredith Curtis. And again, we just want to give a shout out. Thank you, Media Angels, for being one of our supporters. And we are grateful to you for supporting this radio show. Anyway, we're here and we are talking about friendship. And we have talked about being friends with our families, kind of the challenges that homeschoolers have faced. And now we're going to move in to talking about some specific relationships. Now, I had wanted Marla to be here today, and she is unable to be here. But Marla is Juliana's very close friend. They became friends when they were at a homeschool co-op. And I'm going to let Juliana tell you a little bit about their friendship, how they met, how they became friends. And so, Juliana, tell us a little bit about how you met Marla, how you became friends, and how long you have been friends.
Well, we met each other at Math Counts at Grace Homeschoolers when we were both in seventh grade. And we were friends, not very close friends, for a couple years. You know, we would hang out with each other a couple times. I invited her to some things at church. But when we were juniors in high school, but right before both of us turned 16, we just started hanging out, and we became really close friends within like a couple of months. I remember we decided the October of our junior year that we were twins that had been separated at birth. So that's our running joke for over 8 years now, that we're twins. And so just ever since then, she started coming to our church. She would hang out with us all the time. She started taking some classes with my family at our co-op that we would do at our house. And so we would hang out all the time. We both wanted to go to the same college, which we ended up going to together. And
So it was really nice going to college with someone that, you know, I was already really close to, and we would become friends with each other's friends at school, but we always maintained a really close friendship between us. After Marla started coming to our church, she realized that she had never really given her life to Christ. And so she did that. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but I know that through our friendship, I'm really good at shallowness, and I'm really good at shallow friendships. But through being friends for so long, as we both have grown in the Lord, and as, you know, she's given her life to Christ, and we're pursuing Him together, we've really developed a really close bond of being able to encourage each other in the Lord and, you know, help each other grow. And, you know, we've ministered together in so many ways in the church and with Finish Well, and we've done so many projects together for God. And we both are on our church's worship team together. And so there's so many different things that we do together that build our friendship. And she puts up with so much from me. And she's just awesome because she's so patient and so kind. And sometimes I'm not the most loving person, but she's put up with that for so many years. And she's just been a really close friend for a really long time. And, you know, we've always talked about how when we're older, we're both going to homeschool our kids next door to each other. And she'll teach all my kids piano and I'll teach all of them math or something. And we'll trade off and on with stuff like that. But she's just been a really close friend for over 8 years now. And so we've gone through a lot of things together as friends, and we've had hard times in our friendship, and we've had times when we're not as close and times when we're closer, and we've had to learn how to address things in each other so that we could remain friends and so that we could be close and so that the other person could be closer to the Lord. And so we've had a lot of ups and downs and a lot of ups and a lot of really good times, and she's almost as goofy as me. And she can laugh just as loud as me, which is really impressive because a lot of people say I have one of the loudest laughs they've ever heard. So a lot of times when we get together and we just start laughing in unison and then no one can hear anything else, it's just been really fun. I really consider her more of a sister now than even a friend. And so I really cherish her friendship, and I know that the Lord is going to continue our friendship for a really long time.
Now, Juliana, one of the things that you two did that wasn't so good, tell us about how you destroyed a beloved Christmas carol.
Oh, dear. Okay, so we did not intentionally destroy a beloved Christmas carol. What happened was when Marla and I were in high school, my older sister was in college, and it was either the end of November, beginning of December, and she was really stressed out with finals. You know, when you're in college, you'll realize that this happens almost every semester. You almost reach this breaking point. You either start laughing hysterically or crying hysterically. Maybe men don't go through that, but almost every woman I know does. And so Katie Beth was at that point. The way that I cheer people up is by being goofy. So we were listening to Christmas carols, I guess, on the computer, and Breath of Heaven by Amy Grant came on, and so I started doing an interpretive dance to it. It was pretty special, and it did kind of ruin the Christmas carol for everyone who saw the dance forever, but it did its job of cheering my older sister up, and she cracked up laughing, and so then the rest of the evening, you know, we were just laughing with her and joking with her, and she ended up, of course, acing her finals. A few weeks later, at the teen Christmas party, Marla and I figured that we should bless everyone else also with the same dance. And so we played the song, and we did the same interpretive dance. And she is such a good dancer. She caught on to all of the moves so quickly. And it ended up being the hit of the entire night, not to brag or anything, but it was pretty good. But yeah, I think everyone ever since then, Breath of Heaven has been ruined forever for them, which is sad because it really is a good song. I just want to throw that out there. It really is a good song. But, you know, Marla and I have a lot of memories like that together.
Okay. Now, on a more serious note, Juliana, a lot of girls bond over talking about who they have a crush on, who they like, cute boys, things like that. I hear that a lot with teenage girls, and that they
they spend the night and they stay up late and they talk about, do you like so-and-so and who do you like? And can you address that? And what about in your friendship with Marla and other friendships? Was that a part of your friendship? And if it was, well, just tell us.
Well, I can't say that it wasn't at all part of our friendship. I think girls sometimes talk about that, but we were very careful with when we talked about it and how much we talked about it. And I know in high school, well, I was just raised that if you liked someone, that's okay to like a boy, but you didn't talk about it and you didn't make a big deal about it because then it would just create a lot of emotions that weren't necessarily good, especially when you're young. And so Marla and I just, we really hardly ever talked about stuff like that. And so I think senior year, both of us liked guys and we didn't tell each other until after senior year. And I had kind of guessed with her and she had kind of guessed with me, but we didn't tease each other about it and we didn't make it a big deal. It was just, okay, well, that person, you know, kind of likes this person and that's okay. So that's just kind of what we did. And I think it made our friendship a lot better, I think, because we bonded over different things besides boys and we never argued about boys and stuff like that. So when I see a lot of girls who are friends that are younger than me now and their friendship is completely based on, you know, who likes who and this and that, it kind of makes me sad because I think they're missing out on a really important aspect of what girlfriends can have together.
Thank you very much, Juliana. And Marla, when you listen, thank you for being Juliana's friend. Josh, Jimmy, you guys have been friends. You're learning to drive now, both of you. It's terrifying to get behind the wheel. Oh, my. But they have been friends since they were both in diapers. I remember, you know, taking them places and diaper bag full. And you have been through a lot. So tell me a little bit about the best and the worst of your friendship.
I think the best thing with Jimmy and my relationship now is that whenever I have a problem and I'm really upset about it or I'm struggling with sin or anything really, I honestly can go to Jim and he doesn't laugh at me. He doesn't make fun of me most of the time. And he doesn't, you know, make me feel like a loser or unwanted or like he's better than me, and I can just sit down and listen to Jimmy's wisdom, and often it's straight from the Bible, and Jimmy can really talk to me about just how to deal with the situation in a godly manner, and I don't know, I go to him for a lot of advice in situations when I can, so that would be the best. The worst, and we were little, we're not totally alike, and we are very different, and I'm very emotional. And I show it a lot, and Jimmy does not. And so it can be kind of a struggle with me because I just kind of let everything out, and I show everybody how I'm feeling, and then Jimmy just stares at me with this blank look. And then he says, okay, well, blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of like what I do with my sister, only that's just the way Jimmy is. And so over time, as we've gotten older, it's just me understanding that's just the way Jimmy is. So that's been the biggest challenge, I think. So.
Thank you, Josh. Jimmy, the best and the worst of your long-term friendship with Josh?
Probably the best maybe now. I mean, we're both more mature in the Lord and, you know, we know what to say and such. But, you know, we still get in arguments and we have disagreements and such, but, you know, we don't let that get in the way. It has been nice more recently, and we have just been good, and we've talked to each other and such about stuff, and it has gotten a whole lot better than what it used to be, and it used to be pretty bad. I mean, we both had some sins that were, like, hidden and such, and just drawed us away from each other, and we wouldn't want to get too close to each other. God has just changed that, and now we'll just all doors open and, you know, we can share stuff with each other. We try not talk about girls or such, but we just try and be honest with each other and really build each other up. It's been great. There's been some rough patches. Truthfully, I'm very blunt about stuff, and Josh has found that way to, you know, push that aside. And I can't really say I've done really that much because he's just been there. He's been the more honest one. He has, I don't really know, he's been the more of a, you know, really good friend to me and just building me up, and we just learn from each other and help each other out. So, I mean, we are, I'd say probably 2-3 years ago was probably the worst time, and then now is probably really good.
Now, you guys have done a lot together, a lot of working together. I know you're on the sound team. What do you do on the sound team when you work together, and what are some of the other things you've done over the years where you've been working together?
I'll take this one. In sound team, we are, you know, the best duo besides two other people, Brian and Shine. We are very good, and Josh actually just beat the record for getting the sound team to tear down the sound equipment the fastest in 19 minutes, which is very impressive. And so, you know, that's very cool. We've worked on the sound team together. We've been played soccer together and basketball and football, and we've been like a two-team duo. We've had very short-lived rock business. And, you know, all the way back to peeing on fences and digging hole in the front yard and such, we've been there together, always doing it together. And, you know, it's been fun. It's been great. And now we're on the sound team and doing well in it, I guess. It's fun. I can't wait to see what the Lord has planned in the future if we continue to walk in Him and His grace and mercy and such. And, yeah.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. And Josh, you and Jimmy are both very strong-willed. You're strong leaders, both of you. You have your different style, but you're both strong leaders. Has jealousy and competition reared its head in your friendship? And if so, how have you handled it? And Jimmy, I'm going to ask you the same question too.
When we were little, me and Jimmy, we played sports at the YMCA, and we played sports at the house, like with the church and with our friends at the church. And we are both extremely competitive people. And so when we were little, it got in the way a lot, and we were getting a lot of fights over games. And so I don't remember who did it, but somebody made a rule. One of the parents made a rule that me and Jimmy could not be on opposite teams, that we always had to be on the same team. So we worked together for the same thing instead of opposing one another. As we've gotten older, we've moved away from that because me and Jimmy are mature enough to deal with our conflicts. And we just, you know, when we were little, the competitiveness just stirred up a lot of, I want to be better than Jimmy, or Jimmy, I want to be better than Josh. And so it wasn't rather your team is beating my team. For me, at least, it was I'm not doing better than Jimmy, and so I need to do it as hard as I can to beat Jimmy, not even the team. And so I would end up getting frustrated because I couldn't, or something was going wrong, and I would just, you know, I'd freak out on Jimmy, or Jimmy would freak out on me. And it was just, when we were little, it was really bad. But as we've grown up in sports, we've learned that it's not really acceptable for two 16-year-old boys to freak out and start slapping each other and rolling around on the ground. So we moved away from that, dealing with conflict. Sports has dealt with it. Jealousy and other things is a difficult issue. And I think that with a lot of friendships, it can be a huge downfall. And I know that with me and Jimmy, not necessarily in sports, but in other things, for a while, that was the biggest reason why we were separate from each other for a while. And when we were little, we would call each other our best friends. And I don't think it was out of Jimmy's my closest friend, but rather I've known Jimmy for the longest. And Jimmy is my best friend, but it's not because I've known Jimmy for the longest. It's because we've gone through spells when we've been really angry or frustrated with each other, or there were a lot of hurts that were unspoken and we didn't deal with them and we just left them in the dark for a really long time, we came out of that. And me and Jimmy have resolved conflict. And there have been people who have had to step in and deal with this situation. And so I can honestly say Jimmy's my best friend because of that time when it was so rough and we were basically not friends, but then we came out of that. And so now Jimmy knows me ridiculously well, and I know Jimmy ridiculously well because of all of the conflict that we've gone through over the years. I honestly don't know two people who are good friends who have not gone through conflict and brought resolve to it. It's sad that it has to happen, but I don't know a single person who's really, really close to the other who hasn't gone through that. So,
Josh, you hit on a key thing. I personally do not consider someone a good friend until I've gone through conflict with them, because you don't know what your friendship is made of until you have to walk through conflict. So don't be afraid of conflict. However, there are some things that arise in a friendship that you should be afraid of, and you should wonder, is this friendship really the right thing for me? And I want to touch on that before we end. We only have a few minutes, but what are some things that make you realize, oh boy, this friendship is either needs to change or it needs to end? And some of the things that I thought about were when your friendship is exclusive and other people feel uncomfortable being around you, maybe when you're a bad influence on one another, maybe when there's a lot of gossip in your friendship. Why don't you guys just each take a turn and describe some friendships or some things that can happen in friendship where you know, wow, this friendship is not a good thing for me. I need to pull back, or I need to end it, or I need to change it. Jimmy, let's start with you.
Well, over the years, I've had some numerous bad friendships with people. And one of the biggest ones was just we would talk about who likes who and such. And I really needed to just break that off. But for some reason, I just never did. And then later on, the Lord just did it himself. And, but, you know, that just would distract me from the Lord, and it would just pull me away, and it would be basically like an idol in my life, and it would be a sin. There's other relationships where it was just very hard to even talk to them, or when I would just make fun of them and try and be sarcastic, but, you know, kind of mean it. And I would just be very mean. And even, like, sometimes when I'll say some stuff, I can be a little bit too sarcastic to everybody, and it can just go farther than I really meant it, and it can hurt their feelings. Really, it's just been trying to keep the relationships Christ-centered and just talking about him. And, you know, when you're talking to them, thinking about how can this bring glory to God. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because it's the right thing, but really actually thinking about that. You know, I'm talking to this person. How can I bring glory to God? And it's interesting, you know, how can I be talking to someone yet bring glory to God? And just by talking about him, encouraging the other person in him, just encouraging them that they're forgiven, or, you know, they need to repent. I've had my handful of relationships that I haven't acted very well, and then I just needed to repent of them and, you know, move on. God has used them, and God works everything for the good for those who love him, and that's my testimony. You know, he's taken relationships that I've blown it in and just turned it around for the good, and it's been just shocking and truly amazing. And I thank God for that, but I wish I could have just gone back and, you know, changed some and just focused on God more. But he was good and merciful.
Very good. If we repent, God is faithful to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Josh, danger zones in a friendship where you know this friendship is not good for me. I need to get out of here. What are some danger zones for the teens that are listening? Maybe they're in a friendship like this. How can they recognize it?
There can be a few different kinds of relationships that can be bad. I think 2 years ago, I had picked up friends that were not beneficial to me. At the time, I was not walking with the Lord. But it was a few friends that our conversations consisted of either really dirty, disgusting things or people who liked other people. A lot of other things that, I mean, honestly, I don't like thinking about now, looking back. But I think the biggest sign is if you cannot act exactly with that friend in front of your parents as you would away from your parents, it is bad. And if you feel like you have to act a different way towards that friend around your parents, something needs to change. And either it's the friendship itself needs to be brought down to bare bones and rebuilt completely, or it just needs to be cut off completely. There's this guy, is a suggestion, just leave for 5 months. Just pack up and leave town for 5 months and just don't come back. And although I don't recommend that, that's kind of what your friendship has to do for a while. But I know with me, in my friendships with girls, I am really, really bad at it. And I've gotten better over the years. But when I was younger, I was really good at talking to people. I was not shy. That was like my biggest downfall, because I got into a lot of trouble with the opposite sex. And my family does not believe in dating. There are better ways to do it. So we go through courtship, and my oldest brother is actually going through courtship, and now he's engaged to Jimmy and Juliana's oldest sister. And so, but anyways, when I was little, I got into a lot of trouble with that. And I don't profess to be perfect in my relationships with girls currently, because I'm definitely not, and I still make a lot of mistakes to this very day. And, but again, going back to the original thing, if you can't act the same way around a girl or a guy as you would around your parents, change it. And it should not be like that, because you should be able to act the same way with your parents and that person as if your parents weren't there. Because we want to honor our parents, and acting inappropriately or in a way they don't desire us to act towards the friend is not honoring them at all. And so we really need to reconsider our relationships with people, if that's our feeling.
Thank you so much, Josh. And Juliana, please tell us, when do you see friendships in a danger zone? They need to end. You need to get away from that friendship or make a huge change.
I think I see the most when who I am changes around that person, because I consider myself a godly woman, have this really strong relationship with God, and I really do love him and I want to see his kingdom extended. But if I have a friend that I act completely different than that with, then I'm allowing that friendship to redefine who I am. And so Josh said, if the way that you act with a friend, you couldn't act that way in front of your parents with, then it needs to change. And for me, as an adult now, when I was a teenager, I would say, yes, that's definitely the key. But for me now as an adult, you know, I have a full-time job, and I have friends outside of my church and stuff. But if I see who I am changing around that person, then something needs to change in that friendship. I'm not the one defining that friendship. They are. And if they're not a really strong believer, then that can be a really dangerous thing. And so if I find myself complaining a lot more around that person, or gossiping a lot more around that person, or flirting a lot more around that person, then I would say, okay, this is warning signs, there's sirens and alarms going off. Something needs to change. Either you need to cut back how much I spend time with them, or I need to just cut off that friendship for a little while, or I need to make sure that I'm the one that's determining every single thing we talk about and all the things that we're doing and stuff like that in that friendship, so that I'm influencing them for Christ instead of them negatively influencing me. And so I would say that that's one of the biggest warning signs that I see. And another one is, if for me, I struggle a lot with selfishness, and that's something that the Lord has had to work on me a lot in, and I still struggle with it, but He has changed me a lot. But I know when I was younger, I would really struggle with, in my friendships with people, just being completely self-focused. I would be friends with people because they were fun, or because I would leave hanging out with them and I would feel good about myself. And so the Lord has had to change my mindset in that a lot, so that I'm friends with people because they can be fun. Marla and I are fun when we're together and we have fun, but that's not why I'm friends with her. And that's not why I'm friends with other people. It's because I want to build that person up in the Lord, or I want to draw them closer to Christ, or I want to minister to them. Or it's something other than just me. It's about Christ and it's about them. And so if there are friendships where when I'm around them, I realize that, wow, when I'm around this person, it becomes all about me and it builds up my ego, and I leave it and I haven't positively influenced the other person, then something's wrong and something's off. And it could either be off with me or it could be off with them, but either way, something needs to change. So for me, I think those are the two biggest warning signs. You know, do I change when I'm around that person? And do, when I'm around them, is it all about me or is it about them? And so for me, those are the two things.
Well, there's been so much good stuff tonight. I just want to leave you with this scripture. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Choose your friends carefully. Build friendships with your family. They're your friends for this lifetime, and build friendships with godly men and women that you'll be friends with for all of eternity. If you're interested in growing as a friendship, Laura and I have a book called Friends to the End. It's a Bible study, and another version of it, God's Girls Friends to the End. And you can purchase that on our website, powerlineprod.com. And we would really encourage you to grow as a friend. But we are so thankful that you joined us tonight. And from our hearts, all of us here, we wish you God's very biggest blessing and pray that you have a very happy Thanksgiving. We hope to see many of you at Finish Well. God bless you and have a wonderful night. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.